Two men once asked the same question in two slightly, two very different ways. What must I do to be saved? To a rich young ruler who sought eternal life by parading his own righteousness, Jesus responded, as you know, with law. The trembling jailer at Philippi, Paul and Silas comforted with gospel. In today's reading, someone asked another question. Are only a few going to be saved? And we again hear an answer. One answer that in fact can be taken in two different ways. Forget for a moment that it's really none of this man's business. This is really just another angle on why some, not others. How are we to take his question? It could be asked from heartfelt compassion over the many who are apparently lost, or from concern over his own salvation. But Jesus' answer indicates that he sees the heart. Perhaps the question is more of an insult, mocking the small band that followed after Jesus. Why aren't there more? More, it seems that this might be another, like the young ruler, who asks frivolously, out of idle curiosity, out of pride, pointing to himself as one who is surely in the number. And instead of comfort, Jesus gives him law. Tries to enter by the narrow gate. No problem. Aren't all the Jews supposed to be in the Messianic age, at least so popular folk tradition says? Isn't this nameless questioner from Israel? You're reminded of other Jews in John chapter 8, who said, you tell us to continue in the word and to know the truth and be free, but we are sons of Abraham and bondage to no man. But again, the answer here is clear. Strive. Strive and fail. The householder is only too happy to wait long for those from the family who have not yet arrived, but eventually he must bar the door. And then even those who claim some sort of family tie cannot get in. Didn't we eat with you? Yes, they fill their stomachs, but they lacked the deeper fellowship. They had not really eaten his flesh, that is, they had not really believed in him. Didn't you walk and seek among us? Perhaps they should have walked a little closer and listened a little better. But all our family was inside. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets. Let me know, coattails don't even work very well in elections. The door is barred, entrance is denied. Not fair, they cry. Abraham, the others got in. Of course they did. This was no secret hiding place, however. They knew those patriarchs and prophets knew where the house was all along. They knew the way. It had been marked by God's promises over the centuries. But those who came too late had insisted on their own route, even with the promise incarnate before their eyes. Indeed, rise, foolish people, stupid people. Jesus knew this said all too well. Here was another worth of iniquity. How many are saved? More than the questioner realized. Strive in the Greek is a plural imperative. All should strive. The pride will fail, but many others will come from distant corners of the world and pass them by. Those closest despise the truth. Those from afar, even Gentiles, embrace it eagerly. There was still some time, but not much. Old Israel was passing. The true Israel had come to redeem, to create, and sustain the new Israel, his church. And the last would be first. Not there, they said. They had strived to enter. They had clamored to a place up in the front. But this is not their house. The master can do as he will, and his way has been more than generous. Strive. We cannot, Christ did. We succeed with his effort, his merit, his life, his death as our own. Is that fair? Be sure we are guilty. But this is his way, and he wants to do this to square accounts. Strive. It's an imperative. It's active. Think for a moment of the way the verbs work. Christ is the subject of active salvation verbs. We are the ones who are always acted upon. And so he seeks, and we are sought out and found, He washes, we are cleansed in baptism. He forgives, we are forgiven. He saves, and we are saved. Both in the house, both Abraham and the least of the Gentiles are there because of faith, because they have been worked upon. Then strive, then strain every fiber, like Paul's image of the athlete. Now that means to trust, to cling in faith. In a novel, the 19th century French skeptic Anatole France ridicules religion with a rather ludicrous scenario. Cynics such as France and mental lifers would laugh at the scene, but the conclusion is deadly serious. The Heavenly Council has been called to debate what should be done about a terrible mistake that has occurred, about an island of penguins which accidentally has been baptized. What now? How could heaven intervene to remedy the mess? But God withdraws. He will not. For he says to do so would be to infringe on man's great power to work out his own solution. In effect, God says to us, rise. But we know that when on our own we do, we have but one choice. And that is to take the path, the road that leads away from the Master's house, the path of works which brings us back there all too late. God would lead us by the hand on his path, through his word taking us to the door. A door that is but one person wide. I am the door, Christ said. No one enters but by me. Many things move in cycles. One quarter ends only to be followed by another. The church year draws to a close only to begin anew with Advent. But we know that the end will come soon enough. God has told us so. Pray God that he preserve us till that day. Thank God that he has taken us to the door and takes us in. In Christ alone we trust. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith for life eternal. Amen.